Cheerscast is part of the Fire and Water Network.
The point is, this place is big and scary, and I really hate it. Oh, and to make matters even worse, last night, the only thing I could get on television was this movie about this young, beautiful, dark-haired woman that was all alone in this deserted house.
Hey, what about that scene where the guy cuts her head off?
Woody, please.
I mean, there's no way her head's going to come off in one clean cut like that. Believe me, I've seen my uncle butcher hogs, and you have to hack and hack and hack.
You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me once again from the Front Row Network is returning guest, Brandon Davis. Welcome back, Brandon.
Hi, Ryan. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much. Do you mind sitting for my hogs this week?
Oh, well, if it's not out in the moors.
Yeah. No, there are no moors in this area. Anyway.
Unless they haven't flown in.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Folks, we are talking about Season 7, Episode 11, Adventures in House Sitting. Probably about adventures in babysitting, but who's to tell? So this one is written by Patricia I'm sure I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this one, but Nidzialek, and Cecile Alk or Alch.
They didn't write for this show very often.
They didn't. In fact, that was in one of my notes. Like, this is the only episode of Cheers they wrote, and they only had a total of 5 writing credits on IMDb, like an episode of ALF, an episode of Small Wonder, and 2 other shows.
Wow.
I would usually say that's kind of never good, but this is a pretty funny episode, so I'm wondering if they wrote the script and maybe the Charles Brothers did some script doctoring, or somebody else in the writer's room kind of gave it a lift, but I have no idea.
I'm wondering, because the premise is pretty much nothing, but it's got so many amazing one-liners right after the other in this one.
I think the names are Patricia Nidzialek and Cecile Alk. Anyway, directed by James Burrows. The original air date, Thursday, January 19th, 1989. Mr. Sheridan, the latest in the endless string of company vice presidents, asks Rebecca to house-sit his dog while he's away for the week on business. Rebecca agrees, but gets scared being alone in Sheridan's mansion out in the wilderness. Sam comes over to the mansion, hoping to take advantage of her loneliness and fear to get her into bed. But when Rebecca throws Sam out, the dog, Buster, runs off into the night. The Cheers gang try to help Rebecca find the dog until Rebecca hears that Sheridan is coming home early that night. Woody shows up with an identical-looking dog named Satan, but this dog is a guard dog Woody found at the auto yard that will attack when it hears the word Cochise. When Sheridan returns, Rebecca tricks him into believing that Satan is his dog, Buster, until she can find the real dog and make the switch. Sam comes back with Buster and makes the switch, although not without some confusion when the dogs meet and go at each other. Woody brings Satan back to the bar until he can be picked up by the owner. When Frazier says Cochise and the dog does not respond, Rebecca thinks they brought the wrong dog back. That is, until Cliff says the real command word, Geronimo, and Satan attacks, chasing him into the men's room. Carla calls the auto yard to get the counter command to calm Satan and save Cliff, but decides to keep that secret to herself and goes home, leaving Cliff trapped by a ferocious hound from hell. All right, folks, I hope we're able to follow that. This is really plot heavy with like a lot of stuff going back and forth, a lot of twists and turns, but fun. Brandon, what did you think about this episode?
This is an episode, it's so funny. Growing up and watching Cheers, this is one of the episodes that always sticks in my head, and I can quote endless bits of dialogue and endless one-liners from this episode. And I, you know, it's not A-plus Cheers. It's not, you know, the finest example of what Cheers can do, but it's got so many belly laughs in it. It's kind of an anomaly for me. It's just, it's so interesting because, like I said at the beginning, you know, the plot is pretty paper thin. You know, there's some characters that don't get a whole lot to do in this episode, but there's so many little funny laugh out loud bits of dialogue in the show. It's just always stood out for me.
Yeah. And like, I mean, the fact that we're away from the bar for a good chunk of this in this seems to be like a haunted house type of atmosphere that Rebecca's so afraid of. And then it turns into this madcap scramble to get the right dog back. And a funny little note, I have it, as Cliffy would say, it's a little known fact that I found this on the IMDb trivia. The dogs used in the filming of this episode were actually Kelsey Grammer's real dogs. So I think it was funny at the end that Kelly, that he's the one who goes and pets the dog and has a good time with it and ends up saying the command word. But yeah, and yeah, as you mentioned it, like some characters don't get a whole lot to do. Norm, for a minute there, I thought Norm was only going to be in the teaser of this episode,
right?
But he does come back a little bit later. But yeah, the teaser for this one, it starts with Cliff is reading the paper and complaining about the state of modern kids' toys. Of course, this was modern for 1989. And he reads in the paper about this toy monster that you can drop in acid or something and burn off its skin and like muscle and stuff like that. And like, what it can do these days. And Norm and Cliff remember the toys from their youth. And Norm mentions that he was cleaning out the attic and found his old model train set. And they're like, oh, wow. And yeah, he admits that he set the whole thing up, took him a while, but he did it. And they just like run down the rabbit hole of nostalgia, talking about the different parts, the different features of the train set. And he could sell it, and it's a collector's item, so he could get a good price. And then they're just kind of, caught up in the whimsy and start to go head towards the pool room, some stick, and just kind of look at each other silently. Now it's like, we're going to go play with that train set. And without even saying, it's like shouts, I'm the engineer, and takes off running. And Norm gives chase like, oh, it's my train. It's my train.
It's so funny because it seems like, and I think you and I talked about this in an episode earlier at some point, but you know, it's so funny how it feels like throughout the run of the series, Sam regresses a little bit in intelligence and Norm and Cliff sort of regress in terms of going back to their adolescence and childhood as the show goes on too. And yeah, this is one of those prime examples.
Yeah. This teaser probably hit me a little bit harder because I am also a toy collector and an action figure collector deep into what should be my adulthood.
Oh, sure.
But now also having a child of my own. He's a collector of his own. He likes some of the toys that I like, but also like he's into some stuff that I look at like, what the heck is that? I do not get that. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of, I feel a little bit of what Cliff is talking about.
Sure.
But then I'm like, wait a minute, who am I to talk? Because I'm sure 40 years ago when I was into Transformers and G.I. Joe, when they were brand new and stuff like that, my parents were like, what is this? But no, but anyway. After the credits, Frasier comes in looking a little out of sorts. He asks for a double and Carl's like, well, that's a little bit early for that. And he's like, oh yeah, you're right. And he changes his order to a single. And he's like, oh, give me a single with a little bit extra in it. And he changes so much and he's so uncertain that Sam is like, Frasier, what are you ordering? What am I making for you? And Frasier's just like, cup of coffee.
Cup of coffee. Yeah, great. Kelsey Grammer, once again, always deliver, even in these smaller moments, like the double talk and all of that. It plays out just like a wonderful Abbott and Costello routine. And yeah, even he's someone who doesn't get, he's another person who doesn't get a ton to do with. He's got like the one little subplot in this episode, but every minute he's on screen, he delivers.
Yeah, which, I mean, credit to him. And I mean, you could say that about him in every episode. Even if he's only in one scene, he's going to make that scene memorable. But yeah, and then he reveals to them that he's giving a speech to a psychiatric convention. He's actually a little bit nervous about it. And Carla is like, hell, yeah, just do, you know, there's a bit of advice, you know, just picture the audience. And it's like, rolls his eyes, like, thank you for that old chestnut from Speech 101. But Carla has a little stoppage, like picture them naked wearing black socks. And he's like, oh, Carla, and he starts to think about it and then starts laughing. And then he pictures her and he starts to laugh about it. And she's like, she kind of like spins around. She's like, well, how about from this view? And he's laughing. And then he actually takes offense that he's laughing a little bit too hard at the sight of her. And she's like, okay, shut up.
Right. This is one of the only bits Rhea Perlman gets to do in this episode, too. But it's one of the big laughs in the episode, though.
Right. Yeah. I didn't think of this at the time, but a couple of years ago, I taught a public speaking class. And this was not one of the strategies that I thought to tell them. I was like, yeah, try this one out. This one never came to me for some reason.
Well, I was trying to imagine, I said, in all the public speaking classes I've taken, I feel like that's more from TV when you hear the picture everyone naked. I don't think I've ever heard a public speaking instructor in my life tell me that.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's like, because God forbid you be nervous and also maybe aroused at the same time. Or something like that. Yeah. Frazier starts to head toward the door, and he's still kind of laughing at the mental image of it and thinking, he's like, yeah, this will be the thing. This will help me center myself and get over my fear. And then as he's leaving, Rebecca walks in and he greets her, and he takes the moment to process the mental image of her completely naked, but for black socks. Mm-hmm. And he breaks out into a sweat and has to frantically like wipe the beads of sweat from his forehead. And he's like, well, it's not going to work every time. Mm-hmm. Woody tells Rebecca that a Mr. Sheridan wants to talk to her after he eats lunch up in Melville's. And she refers to Sheridan as another one of the legions of presidents, vice presidents, and consultants that the company belches forth every 5 minutes. And Sam is kind of leaning across the bar with the other guys. Like, yeah, it seems like you'd have to be a real loser not to be a vice president in this company. And then he sees her reaction and he gives her this so insincere, I'm sorry. it's so harsh in its own way, but
it's fantastic.
Yeah, so Rebecca knows that Sheridan is going to ask her to do some menial and demeaning chore, and today is where she draws the line, and she says no. Sam does not believe she will refuse him, and Sheridan comes down the stairs and asks her, he says that he'll be out of town for a week on business, and asks if she could take care of his dog. Exactly the kind of thing that she predicted. And she's like, nope, I've got plans. I can't change them. I can't do it. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's no problem. You know, it was a last minute ask anyway. And he gets ready to leave. And as he's walking out, she's holding a coffee cup and just starts to shake. And she's like vibrating literally with under the stress. She's like, no, I can't take it. And she screams. She's like, I can change my plans. I can change my plans. I would love to do it. And she tells him, thank you for the opportunity
of knowing your dog, which Kirstie Alley can make demeaning yourself and losing your dignity funnier than anybody.
Absolutely. It's one of her trade skills. Yeah.
It's fantastic. Then,
like, and after that's over, she can't even meet Sam's gaze. She just walks back, slunks back to the office. She's like, God, I make myself sick.
Sick. And really, I love dogs, but there's nothing more, worse than I think dog sitting for somebody, because especially I know so many couples who, you know, their dog is another child. And so you feel such, you know, it's one of the worst jobs because you feel such stress and such pressure.
The first time I ever did it, like before, once I actually got dogs of my own, then it became a little bit easier. Now I'm kind of used to it. After I had dogs for about 10 years, so that was okay. But the first time I had to watch a dog for a week, that I never really had that responsibility before. It stressed me the hell out, and I hated it.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Anyway, later on, Frazier comes back to the bar and he's laughing. And as he's walking in, he sees two people leave, and he casts you basically just know exactly everything that's going on. He watches them leave, picturing them naked with the socks, and he starts to crack up. And Woody's like, "What's so funny?" And Frazier can't even get the words out. He just starts laughing harder and harder, and Woody starts to laugh, and they're laughing together. And Sam looks at him, he's like, "What's so funny?" And Woody just looks at you. It's a private joke, Sam. So private that Woody doesn't even know, but he's still laughing about it.
No, and once again, Woody Harrelson, you know, much like Kelsey Grammer, Woody Harrelson can just freshen up any scene that he's in. And I always love, at this point in the series, the chemistry between Kelsey Grammer and Woody Harrelson is fantastic. You've got these two guys, and they just work so well together.
I mean, not for nothing, but I think if you look at the two careers that were most successful after Cheers, it's Kelsey Grammer and Woody Harrelson. Those guys never missed a beat after the show ended. And I think just based on the strength of his character, if somebody else was going to get a spinoff besides Frasier, I think Woody could have helmed one. I don't know where they would have gone with it. I don't know how different it would have been from Cheers, but I think Woody is definitely capable of being the lead in a show. Whereas I don't think a Norm or Cliff centered show would have worked any better. Well, better than the Tortellis, but not as right. Frasier.
Right. I think had Woody gotten his own spinoff, they might have, when they spun off Frasier, they had to make the character of Frasier a little less neurotic, and they gave that job to Niles. I'm wondering if Woody had gotten his own show, they would have maybe, I don't know, they would have sort of centered him a little bit more, maybe made him a little less, I don't know, a little less eccentric or whatever, and maybe it brought in another character to do that. I don't know if that could have worked or not, but he does, as the show goes on, the character of Woody becomes a little more cynical and stuff, so it could have worked, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Rebecca comes back to the bar. She's not, for some amount of time, a couple of days or something, she's been taking care of the dog, Buster, but she hates it because she's alone in Sheridan's big empty house, which she describes it like a mausoleum out on the moors. And as we were saying when we began the episode, Cliff mentions there aren't moors in Massachusetts. And Rebecca goes, I think they had them flown in.
And Kirstie Alley's delivering of that is so fantastic. Yeah. And I love it because in season six, she's sort of feeling herself out, and now she's fully a member of the gang, and she has no problem giving it to Cliff or Norm or any. It's fantastic.
Right. And she's so on edge already because she mentions that she got spooked watching a scary movie last night about a woman alone in a big house or something like that. And Woody says, how about when the guy chopped her head off? And she's like, Woody, for real? Come on. And he's like, no way would it have come off in one swing like that. I've been in my uncle's butcher shop. You have to keep hacking away. And she's like, Woody, please stop. And he's like, how about when the gardener got it? She says how tense she is, and he's like, oh, yeah, I don't want to spoil the ending or anything like that for the people who haven't seen it. He's like, I'll just say, turn around when you hear the nin-nin-nin-nin-nin. She's like, damn it, Woody, and she starts to walk back to her office. But the best part is this entire setup, as he's been giving that, they've had this back and forth, Woody has been putting ingredients in the blender. And it goes by so subtly because he's a bartender. What else would he be doing? He needs sort of action to be doing. So, yeah, of course, he's making a mixed drink and everything, but all builds up. And she's like, Woody, just stop. And after he makes the chainsaw noise, she starts to walk away, and he turns on the blender and just, and she jumps. She's like, Woody.
and then that fantastic line of his to put the button on the scene, some bartender afraid of a blender.
So Sam, of course, thinks that Rebecca being scared means she needs Sammy's security company, and the logo of which is, we get in before the burglars do. Oh God, Sam. And then we get a great, very minor but nice little appearance from Lilith. Lilith comes in
very brief.
She apologizes for being late to lunch with Frasier, and he's like, "Well, I hope you had a good reason." She's like, "I did. I was eating at another restaurant when I remembered our date." So they start to go up to Melville. So he basically says, do you mind watching me eat? And she's like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Nothing would give me more pleasure. So they start to go up, and he starts laughing again at the image of her with the black socks. And she's like, what are you laughing at? And he has to tell her about the little trick and everything. He's like, this has taken my mind off my speech. I haven't even thought about it since. And she's like, when do you give that speech? And he realizes, dear God, and he has a bolt out the door.
And you just leave Lilith there with, blank stare, and she just goes about her day.
But again, for both of these scenes at the bar afterwards, we haven't had Norm. Norm has not been in either of these scenes. We haven't seen Norm yet since the teaser. And now we're leaving the bar because we cut to Sheraton's house out on the moors. And we see Rebecca is reading something, and the dog is, Buster is laying down on the floor next to her. And she hears something like kind of startling her. And she's like, Buster, did you hear that? And the dog basically passed out. She's like, calm down. That's great. And the lights go on. They go, oh gosh, oh God. And she's like, it's probably just like the wind or something, or Leatherface. I think she has the comment. Yeah.
And these are very both these dogs in this episode are very well trained.
Right. Especially if they're Kelsey Grammer's dogs and not like dogs that are used for
professional
TV and everything. Yeah, they were really well done because there's a knock at the door. She's like, oh gosh, he's at the door. And Buster just runs into the kitchen crying. Like, And she goes to try to she puts a chair in front of the door to barricade it, and then she starts to move like a chess piece and everything to get rid of it. And we see Sam skulking into the room from behind somewhere, kind of creeping around, and he starts to help her move it. And she's like, "Thanks, Sam." And then she realizes and screams when she recognizes it. And she's like, "What are you doing here?" She's like, "Oh, I just followed some guy with a meat hook through the back door or something."
Like any episode, Kirstie Alley goes through the gamut of emotions. Like, she can run any kind of emotion in any episode. She goes from being, you know, big bad boss lady to a blubbering mess in 2 seconds.
Right. And she's terrified, and Sam pulls her to his chest and is consoling her and everything like that, trying to calm her, reassure her. And she's like, "Oh God, I'm scared. My heart is beating a minute." And he's like, "Oh yeah, it is." She's like, "Get your hand away from that." And Sam's like, "Don't worry about the darkness." He pulls out his candles. She's like, "You brought your own candles?" He's like, "Oh, this kind of thing happens in the big spooky houses a lot. I carry everything. Sammy carries anything he needs for the occasion." And she asks, "Did you come here because you were concerned that I was scared, or did you come to get me in the sack?" He's like, "Sweetie, I was scared. I was concerned and scared that I'd never get you in the sack." And there's this great little exchange that I've always remembered from Sam. She's like, I didn't want you to leave. I am glad that you're here." But she says, "Sam, a man and a woman can be together for an entire evening without ending up rolling on the floor." And he goes, "I'm true for some people, but we're good looking."
Amazing line delivery.
Yeah. Yeah, so she says, "We can just have a conversation. Have you ever heard of that?" He's like, "Of course. Contrary to what people think of me, I'm not that dumb. Come on, let's conversate."
Let's conversate.
She's like, "What do you want to talk about?" He goes, "Sex." And she's she tells him she's going to bed, and he's like, "That sounds like a good idea." And she's like, "No, get out." And she tells him to leave, and he opens the door, and she says, "Sammy, no, no, no." And he's like, "Pajama time." But she doesn't refer to that, because Buster bolts through the front door when Sam opens it. And Rebecca is ready to go out into the stormy night to chase him, leaving Sam alone. And he's like, "Oh, well, might as well turn the electricity back on."
And that's once again another great button on the scene, because, you know, there's no explanation as to why the power went out. And then when you see that, it's like, oh, of course.
Right. After the commercial, Rebecca is on the phone talking to like neighbors trying to find the dog and everything. And we get the Cheers gang, Cliff, Norm, and the tertiary guys, Tim and Alan. They all come over together, and Cliff is wearing like an army fatigues. And they've been searching the grounds in sectors. And Cliff is like, "Alpha Sector." And they're like, "Negative. Bravo Sector. Negative." Charlie and Rebecca's like, "Shut up, Cliff." And there's this little moment where they give I love it when they include like these tertiary guys, like the other barflies in the thing, but they actually give Alan like a little meteor, because he's talking to Norm. He's like, "I'm thinking about doing something like this for my living room," as he's kind of like staring in awe at the house. And Norm, "You live in 20 square feet and your bed folds out of a couch. What are you talking about?"
Which is nice, because it proves that not only do Norm and Cliff and the gang that we usually spend the most time with hang out with each other, these guys are part of the world too. We just don't see them very often, apparently.
Exactly. Yeah. And none of these other guys are living the high life like Fraser and Lilith. They're not that hairy type. Like these guys, of course they're going to be in the bar almost every night. So. Mm-hmm. Rebecca gets the call. Sheridan is coming home early, and Cliff is like, "All right, man, I say we fall back to our original positions." Like, "What are you talking about? To the bar, back to the bar."
And Norm, "Sir, so yes, sir."
Yeah, they're leaving Rebecca to her fate, at which point Rebecca does what Kirstie Alley does. Well, she starts to cry, and she's trying to hold it in, but she starts crying. She's blaming herself for just, this never would have happened if she hadn't taken Sheridan up on this offer, and she's always doing stupid favors, and it's come back to bite her.
That line on paper is nothing, but but she makes it one of the funniest moments in the episode.
Absolutely. And Sam is like, "Don't do this to yourself. Stop blaming me." He's like, "What if I tell Sheridan it's my fault?" And then instantly she turns around. She's like, "Fine, that's great. I'll be at the bar." She picks up her jacket. But when she goes to the door, she sees a car pulling up. She's like, "Oh gosh," she thinks it's Sheridan, but it's actually Woody with the dog. And she's like, "I don't know who to kiss first." And Woody's like, "Well, I just had a breath man. Like, "Where did you find him?" And Woody's like, "At an auto wrecking yard." And he's like, "What were you doing there?" And Woody's like, "Just browsing." And Woody reveals that, contrary to the appearances, this is not the same dog as Buster. It's an attack dog named Satan. And he's just borrowing it from the yard in case they don't find Buster that night until they can switch him. Rebecca gets the call then that a neighbor did find Buster, sends Sam to go get him. Woody says he can't bring Satan back because he hasn't finished the snack. And he takes Satan in the kitchen. And when he comes back out, he's like, Satan hasn't finished his snack. He goes like, well, actually, he opened the door himself, but I got out of the way. But Sam, who went out to go get the dog, comes running back in alone. He's like, Sheridan just pulled up. And they're like, okay. She sends Sam out the back to go get Buster. Woody takes Satan in the kitchen. They have to try to convince Sheridan that Satan is Buster until they can sneakily make a switch without Sheridan knowing what the real deal is. And she's trying to explain the whole thing. Or I can just put steak sauce on my throat and let Satan chow down. And there's a great moment here. Woody's like, don't worry, Miss Howe. I understood everything you said. He goes, come on, Sam, let's go get your kibble.
And then Ted Danson's laugh at that point, too. It's just great. It's great.
So Sheridan comes in and he doesn't want to make chit chat. He just wants to see his dog. He's really excited and can't waste his time with Rebecca. But Woody says that Buster is sleeping in the kitchen. She's like, who is this man? Rebecca says it's her boyfriend and she's over to keep her company. And when she said boyfriend, Woody just looked at her, wow, Miss Howe. Sheridan's suspicions are aroused because he's like, you call your girlfriend Miss Howe? And Rebecca says she was his teacher. And Rebecca's Sheridan just wants them to leave. And Rebecca's like, what do you say? Do we need to leave? And he's like, great. How about dinner and a movie? And then we can go someplace and park.
And park. I love because it harkens back to even season 6 in the episode we talked about with the big kiss off. There's always like this little underlying crush between Woody and exactly. Rebecca. And it always resurfaces at some point. And this is one of those episodes where it does.
Sheridan goes into the kitchen. And Woody says, don't worry, Satan won't attack him unless he hears the command word Cochise. And they're like, well, never going to say that word, just in casual. And it's like, or unless Sheridan provokes him. And they just hear this loud growl sound. Mm-hmm. And Sheridan's like, come on, boy, I got your tail. And you just hear the dog getting crazier and crazier. And then Sam comes in with the real while Sheridan's in the kitchen, and Rebecca tells him to get the mud out of here. And she says, Sheridan's in the kitchen with Satan. And Sam's like, this is no time for folk singing.
That is the line of dialogue I will always, always remember. I quote it all the time. And it comes out of absolutely nowhere. And you're like, that really is that's a little almost too sophisticated of a joke for Sam Malone, but it works.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so good. I love that line. But Sam sneaks out around the house to replace the dogs and everything. Sheridan comes out saying that, Buster was really, really excitable today. And he's saying goodbye to Rebecca and Woody. And then they hear what sounds like two dogs barking or growling or something in the kitchen. And he goes to investigate, but Rebecca pulls him aside. She's like, there's something I've been meaning to ask you. And she takes him to this giant urn. And she goes, is this a bowling trophy? He's like, no, it's my late wife's ashes. Rebecca's like, she was a good-sized woman.
This whole scene, it's one great one-liner after another.
It is. And it's like Cheers is at its best sometimes where like you could see this as like a one act play or something that mm-hmm. they could stage when Cheers was able to do that. You just see like this sort of comedy of errors type of tropes and all these like mm-hmm. miscues and like things like that. People having to be running out of the scene just as another person is coming in and all the like all these. Yeah. They were great when they did things like that.
It's finally, because it's finally clicked, because, season 6, there's some really good episodes in it, but it was taking a while for it to find its sea legs. Season 7, it's clicking now, and everything is in place.
Yep. Sheridan goes into the kitchen to investigate. Sam comes in the front door, looking a little bit disheveled, but saying that he made the switch, and they're about to leave, and Sheridan comes back, and he sees Sam, and he's like, who is this? And Sam is like, I'm her boyfriend. And Rebecca doesn't think to correct, doesn't stop to explain that she already used that line with Woody, and she's just like, that's right, he's my boyfriend. And they dash out the door, leaving Woody to follow them confused. He goes, Miss Howe, we have to talk. So we go back to the bar, and finally we see Norma at the bar again, and he's having a beer and everything like that. So giving away the his total at the end, he has two beers for this episode. But at the bar, they've got Satan tied up to the bar, and Cliff is kind of mocking the dog, and Norma's like, I wouldn't do that, Cliff. If you look closely, you'll see he has several tiny little mailbags notched on his leash. And Rebecca wants to know why Woody didn't take Satan back, and Woody's like, well, the guy will pick up the dog tomorrow unless we want to keep him as a sort of Cheers mascot. And she says the dog is a loaded gun that goes off when you say C-O-C-H-I-S-E. And Woody's like, great, I spelled that right. And he has this sign that says, don't say Cochise to this dog. He puts there. And then Frasier comes in, still kind of laughing about this thing after giving a speech. And he sees the dog. He's really excited and petting, which the scene takes on new meaning if you realize that that's actually Kelsey Grammer's dog.
Yeah.
And he's petting the dog. He says, what's this? Don't say Cochise to this dog. Everybody just drops and ducks behind the bar, like reacts.
Every customer has been warned.
Everybody. They're just down. And Frasier has no idea. He's like looking around because the dog gives no response. And they're like, did he not hear what's going on? And they kind of creep up very slowly. And Sam motions for Frasier. He's like, back up a couple steps. Don't get close. And then he's like, Cochise. And again, everybody drops, and this time like jumps back just as reaction to the other, to the rest of the bar, but still has no idea what's going on. He's like, somebody has to explain this. And Rebecca's like, Cochise, 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 nothing from the dog. She's like, Woody, this is the wrong dog. This is the wrong dog. She's like, Sam, you were supposed to make the switch. And he's like, well, I did, but they were tearing each other. They were tearing at each other, and it got confusing. And I was trying to separate the two dogs, protecting my goodies at the same time. And Woody's like, well, if this isn't Satan, then Satan is. And Rebecca finishes the thought, chewing the spleen out of Mr. Sheridan right now. So they have to make the switch again, and Rebecca's going to warn Sheridan and everything. So Woody starts to untie what they think is Buster from the bar so that they can take him away. But it's at that point he remembers, oh, hang on a second. Cochise isn't the command word for the attack. It's that other Indian name. And Cliff is like, what other Indian name? There are millions of Indian names. And he starts rattling up Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull, Pocahontas, Geronimo. Mm-hmm. The dog barks and lunges for Cliff and starts chasing him, which is now not leashed to the bar thanks to Woody. So Cliff goes running down the hallway and locks himself in the bathroom as the dog is kind of trying to claw and bite its way through that door, barking and hollering. Yeah. And they're like, oh, that's it. It was Geronimo. Which
is great because that's the famous photo hanging in the bar that belonged to Nick Colasado.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm sure that was done deliberately as that homage. Because, yeah, if anybody doesn't remember, the actor who played Coach, Nicky Colasando, had this painting of Geronimo in his and then when after he passed away, they actually put the painting up in the back of the bar by the piano. So, yeah, a nice little touch. And, yeah, I'm sure they named it Geronimo as an homage to that one. So, but he's like, he's got Mr. Clavin trapped in the men's room. And Norma's like, well, that's okay. We can use one upstairs at Melville's. So Woody digs a piece of paper out of his pocket. He's like, that's okay. I've got the number for the auto yard and I can call them to get the counter command. And Carla's like, I'll do it. And it's like, Carla, why would you volunteer to do something like this? Why would you be so helpful in a situation like this? I'm suspicious, Carla.
Yeah.
So she calls the guy and gets the command. Where she's like, okay, I know what it is. And like, what is it? What is it? How do we calm the dog down? And she pockets the piece of paper. She's like, good night, everybody. Good night, everyone. And she walks to the door and leaves. And everybody's just like, oh my God, you're abandoning Cliff to be devoured by this dog. Everybody except for Woody, who thinks good night, everyone, is the command. And he starts saying it to the dog.
That's what's so great, because Carla just walking away and saying goodnight, everyone, would be a funny, great ending to the episode. But then having Woody shout it as a command, it's just perfect.
It's not working. Good night, everyone. Yeah,
not working.
It's a black. And it's
Well, and then you've got John, and kudos to John Ratzenberger, who's just shouting in the background, you know, get away from me, you hound from hell, or whatever he's saying.
funny episode, funny little bits and everything like that. I didn't mention for the guest cast, obviously, B.B. Newworth comes back as Lilith. Mr. Sheridan is played by actor Michael Curry, who has a ton of appearances, but notably he was in Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, and he was also in a couple of the Dirty Harry movies playing the same role. He was in Sudden Impact and The Deadpool. For Norm's tab, as I mentioned, he only had two beers this episode, one in the teaser and then one at the very end, like the final scene where they're back at the bar. So that brings him up to 632 for the series. For the employee of the week, it was almost a toss-up. Rebecca was a very close runner-up for a little while, but then the more I thought about it, I was like, no, it's Woody. Woody is my favorite part of this episode.
Woody's great, but I did give it to Rebecca in this one just because she has so many, you know, everyone in this episode gets like their moment. And granted, Woody Harrelson has a lot of great moments in this episode, but it's consistently Kirstie Alley throughout. So I think that that's what leaned me toward Rebecca, just because it's more her story and she's just got so many great highs in this episode.
I agree. And like with Rebecca, one of the reasons, like the emotional beats that she goes through, like when she's just shaking because she can't refuse one of her bosses, even though it's so demeaning and embarrassing for her.
That coffee cup is vibrating in that.
To her being scared of being alone, to her starting to cry when she thinks she's going to be fired for losing this dog, to everything at the end. She was very, very good. But I gave it to Woody, though, just because I thought his whole everything he did in this episode was really priceless. Except he did not have my funniest of all the lines of dialogue. He did not have my funniest one, which is the one that you noted. My home run for this episode is Sheridan's in the kitchen with Satan. This is no time for folk singing.
In an episode full of them, this is the MVP. It's so great. It is so great. And then I think my runner up, if I had to have one though, it would be the, is this a bowling trophy? No, that's my late wife's ass. She was a good sized woman.
That was good. That and my other favorite, like in terms of like not a line, but like sort of like a visual beat, a visual moment, is when they say Coach Cheese at the bar and like everybody ducks down. And then the second time when Sam warns Frazier but doesn't give him the context, he's just like panic up, and they say it again and everybody drops again expecting it, and even Frazier kind of like reacts, like jumps back, but he's like, what am I doing, what am I missing, what's going on?
Well then another nonverbal that we didn't mention earlier on though is after when Sam says, but sweetheart, we're good looking. When she sits him down again, she goes, now, Sam, even two good looking people can spend the evening together without ending up in the sack. And he just gives her like this look of frustration. Like, are you kidding me? I don't understand what you're saying at all. Like she's saying something in a foreign language. It's perfect.
It's so good. So good. Oh, any final thoughts about this one?
No, it's like I said at the beginning, it is, it's not going to rank in anybody's, you know, top 20, top 30 episodes of Cheers, but it does what Cheers does best. It just puts these characters that we know and love into these incredibly funny situations and gives them incredibly well-written things to say. You know, like you said, I don't know if the Charles brothers doctored the script at all, and if they didn't, man, they should have used this team of writers more often, because this is some funny stuff.
For real. The only other thing I could think of, but it's weird that they have five credits. And especially because it's a writing duo, it's a pair who work together consistently. The only other thing I can think of is if this was another established writer that for some reason
writing under a different name,
did not want their name on the credits or something for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
Either contractually couldn't take credit for it or didn't want to for some reason. But like this could have been written by a veteran TV writer that just had to change their name for some reason. But it would be weird for two writers, for a pair. But who knows?
Because another great ensemble comedy that I love is WKRP in Cincinnati. And there's a couple episodes where there were a couple of writers who were writing under assumed names for different reasons. So I didn't know if that might be the case for this one, too. But yeah, it's interesting to think about.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Brandon. Thank you for coming back to the show. Always enjoy talking to you about these. Where else can people hear you if they want to hear more from you?
Yeah, so I'm under the umbrella of the Front Row Network, but my show is called Front Row Classics. So you can find us anywhere where you listen to your podcasts. And then we're on Facebook at Front Row Classics Podcast. We're on Instagram at FRN Classics Pod. And we are on Twitter at FRN Classics.
Very, very cool. Very cool. Thanks again. And thanks to all of you out there who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Podcast Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW Podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening. And until next time, we're closed.
Sam, yeah. You go around the back way and get Buster, all
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Woody, you take Satan into the kitchen and get in some kibble. We hope that Sam gets back in time with Buster so we don't have to use him, but if he doesn't get back in time with Buster, then we have to convince Sheridan that Satan is Buster until Sam gets back and we can switch Buster for Satan. Or I could just put steak sauce on my throat and let Satan chow down.
I understand everything perfectly, Miss Al. Come on, Sam, let's get you kibble. I'm just kidding, Miss Al.